This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, non-fiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype.
Welcome to Book Hype, episode 12. Thank you, mystery British person. You guys can tweet in about who you think that was. Ooh, it was Kyle. I've got Karen and Mikhail here with me today. How are you, ladies?
Good.
How are you going?
I know, we had a whole discussion about that.
Oh, so self-conscious. You've done it. You've ruined me.
Sorry.
So we are book podcast from hyperbook.com. If you want to get in touch with us, we are twitter.com/bookhype, and you can always lead us feedback on Hyperbook. What are we reading this week? I am going first. I've decided. This week we have something special on Book Hype. We are actually going to do some giveaways based on some of the reviews that have gone up. So I read this week this fantastic book called Every Breath by Ellie Marney. She's an Australian author, and it's like a modern Sherlock Holmes, but it's hilarious because they live in like our world, so they know that Sherlock Holmes and Watson already exist, and they're, I guess, meant to be the modern parallels of them, but they make these jokes all the time about like, haha, you're my Watson and let's move to Baker Street, and it's just so self-aware. It's fabulous. Have you guys did you check out the review of that? I was a big fan.
Yeah, I edited the review, and I hadn't even heard of the book before, but I'm really considering picking it up because I love those types of books and movies and TV shows that have, like, a modern twist on the classic tales, and I really like the ones that are aware of what they're doing and try to make it a little bit, you know, funnier and stuff like that. So, yeah, it sounded really interesting.
Yeah, it was great. I actually don't know if it has an American release yet, but I might have to mail you a copy, Karen. So for one lucky Australian Book Hype listener, we have a copy of this to give away. So that's fun. And then because everyone always complains that we only do things for Australian, even though we really don't. Guys, I'm 1/5 of this podcast. Like, I'm definitely in the minority. We also have a copy of Two Boys Kissing by David Levithan. And Kyle reviewed that this week and gave it a great review. So we have a copy of that to give away. And that will be for someone in America. So, you know, not just Australians. We're representing all the A's except for, like, any A's that aren't Australia and America. So, sorry. We try and get international things when we can, but unfortunately these ones are going to be limited. So I've been reading those, and Mikhail, I think you have something as well.
Yeah, there's a book called This Is How I Find Her by Sarah Polsky that's coming out on September 1st in the US. I actually haven't read it yet, but it's gotten really nice reviews. It's about a girl whose mother suffers from bipolar disorder, and I think it's kind of in the time between her mother's suicide attempt and her being released from the hospital, and it's kind of about, you know, the main characters kind of coming to terms, I guess, with everything that's going on in her life and, you know, the various relationships that we have. We have a guest post that's going up, or if this podcast goes up on Tuesday, it will have been up yesterday, which would be Monday, but today is tomorrow. And if you understood that, then congratulations.
Then you win the book.
Exactly, right. You can leave in the comments. I understood. But yeah, we're giving away one signed copy of that book for book hype people, or hype people, or people who find the giveaway in the US and possibly Canada, but I'm not sure about that yet.
Cool. So if you go on Hyperbole and look in the show notes for this episode, or if you found us through the show notes, then the giveaways for Every Breath and Two Boys Kissing will be in there, and you'll have a few different ways that you can enter. And then Mikhail's book is going to be in the separate post, the guest post that will have gone up yesterday. So if you go into Hyperbole and look through the book posts, you'll find it there and you'll be able to enter that. And we'll let you know then if it's just America and America and Canada as well. Karen, what about you? What's on your radar?
I just finished The Beginning of Everything by Rob Schneider, and it was so, so good. It actually reminded me a little bit of The Fault in Our Stars, which maybe that was just because I literally had just finished that like a book or two ago. But it kind of felt along the same vein, and it was really funny and full of puns, which I love. They're my favorite. And lots of pop culture references. And it was a really interesting book, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I highly recommend that. And I just started The Cuckoo's Calling because we need to read that soon for book hype. So that's the one I'm currently reading right now.
I'm still reading that. I said on last week's episode that I was reading that, and I'm still reading that. I'm just saying it's taking me a really long time.
Oh, is that doesn't sound like a good news kind of thing.
No, I'm actually not. I mean, I'm not into mystery books, but I'm actually enjoying it. But like, I wish it would be ending now, and I still have like 150 pages left. So, I mean, I guess I'll talk about that. But like, I'm not. It's not like a, oh, I hate this book. I don't. You know, I want to read it, and I want to know who's the killer. But like, yeah, I know you read it really fast, right, Marma? I have no idea how you did that because this is.
I read it in like or a few hours when it came out when I was at Disney World, so I could write the review of it, the very unpopular review on hyperbola.com. Yeah, so that I sped right through it, so I think I'll reread it for when we do the review, because
You
why not?
could just read
always read
books
Disney World.
really, really fast.
Yeah, true. I didn't read it any faster than I would have read it. That's just how fast I read things.
Yeah.
So
I wish I could do that because, I mean, not that I'm a slow reader, but it does take me like maybe a week to finish a book because of, lots of other stuff going on. And if I could like read a book a day, that would be fantastic. I would get a lot more done.
well, I wish
How
I
have
had
you missed
time to read
weeks?
a book a day, but like, unfortunately, life often gets in the way. So.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because I've just gone back to uni or school, as you guys say. I've just gone back to school. I
How
have been reading lots of non-fiction books lately, which are also cool, but have cut into my YA enjoyment time slightly. So if you guys want any recommendations of great history books to read, feel free to ask me on Twitter. I have read so many. Yay, history is fun. Actually, I feel like this is a good place to make this announcement. I said it on Twitter. But I have decided, because obviously, like, Vampire Academy and Bloodlines has been going really big on Hyperbole lately with Battleships. And there's a new Bloodlines book coming out in, I want to say, November. The Fiery Heart is the next Bloodlines book. And I just went to this Penguin event where everyone was going crazy about it. So I think I've decided I'm going to read all the Vampire Academy and all the Bloodlines books before that comes out. So that's like my next project. I don't know if that's crazy or not.
When did you say it's coming out?
I think it's November, but now I need to check because people will be yelling at us.
I really want to read those books too, just because, like, well, my best friend loves the Vampire Academy books, and she's not a huge reader, so for her to be like, these are my favorite books ever, I'm like, okay, I need to pay attention to them. And then, yeah, every time we write about the Vampire Academy movie on Hypable, it like goes straight to hot on Hypable section. I'm like, all right, there's my sign. I need to read these.
Yeah, it comes out on the 19th of November. And so there are six. Oh, now I feel like I'm getting myself in for too much. There are six Vampire Academy books, and there are three Bloodlines books, which is the spin-off. And then this is the fourth one. So I have until the 19th of November to read them. So I'll start them on like the 12th of November, and I should be fine. We'll see how we go. I'm not a big fan of vampire books, but yeah, they're just kind of everywhere. I feel like I need to read what the cool kids are reading and get into it. Whatever. Book buys. Well, that was awkward. And we're not even going to explain why that happened. So last week you guys did defining moments as readers, and we thought it would be fun if Karen and I did ours this week because we didn't get to talk about it last week. So, Mikhail, can you remind us real quick about what yours was?
Yeah, mine was being an obnoxious child and bringing books to my friends' houses. And if we were invited out for meals, I would bring a book. And I mean, I distinctly remember, I don't know, I actually, tell me in the comments if anyone's read this book, but I remember reading a book called The Briar King. I think that's what it was called by, something Keys, Greg Keys, I think, in somebody's house that we'd been invited to, and like there was all this stuff going on, and like people were like preparing for the meal, and I was like 13 and sitting on the couch reading. And looking back, that's like pretty obnoxious, but at the time I thought it was fairly awesome. Yeah, so I don't know if you guys are as obnoxious as I was.
And nothing's changed, right?
Now it's more like audiobooks on my iPod.
That
So
you
I'll
take
just
to
like,
your friends' houses and put your headphones in.
yeah, just like nod and smile along, and they'll be like, okay.
That's perfect. Karen, what about you? Have you got one?
Yeah, I remember on the bus to school reading every single morning, pretty much being the only one on the bus reading. And everybody always wondered why I didn't get car sick from, the bumpy ride and stuff. And I think it was just because I had literally done it for as long as I can remember and just, read every morning. And looking back on it now, I was probably like the biggest dork, but I didn't care because I just could not put my book down. And I also remember walking down like the hallways in school. I don't even know like when I did this, if it was between classes or what, but I'd be reading and not running into things, which is funny because I'm very klutzy, as both of you guys know, and I'm surprised I didn't face plant. But yeah, I specifically remember just like reading all the time.
Oh.
That's cute. Karen, everything you say is so cute. You're like a cartoon character.
Thank you.
Oh, a Veronica Mars reference? Cartoon birds braid your hair in the morning.
I haven't watched it
Oh.
yet. Oh, no, wait, I have watched that one. My
Yeah,
mistake.
I was gonna say we did that episode together.
Yeah, I'm really on top of it. Cool. Yay, fun. Now I don't know. So much pressure. I think mine. I feel like my defining thing as a reader was just like an evolutionary reflex to having an older brother that never let me watch TV. And so we only had one TV, and it was like, well, what am I going to do? I guess I'll read a book. But I do remember when I was really little, at some point they did The Hobbit, like an audio reading of it on a BBC or someone, I don't know. And my parents recorded it all on these cassette tapes, and we listened to the cassette tapes like over and over and over in the car until literally like they stopped working because I demanded every time I got in the car, like, The Hobbit, play The Hobbit. Except I never wanted to listen to, it must have been like tape 7 or something, which was the Riddles in the Dark chapter because it was too scary. The Gollum voice really creeped me out. So I think that was my defining moment because then after I listened to all of that, I wanted to read The Hobbit. And then after I read The Hobbit, I must have been like, I don't know, 8 or 9. And I decided, like, I want to read more stuff by this guy. My mom was like, well, Lord of the Rings, these will keep you going for a while. So I read them, and probably did not understand them like in the slightest. But yeah, I think that was probably it. So it all goes back to Tolkien. And now you guys understand my like deep hatred for the Hobbit films because it's just destroying my childhood. What can I say?
You're just hearing all the lines in the BBC actors' voices, and it's not the same.
I know, it's just not fair. I actually think that might have been because I remember when they cast Lord of the Rings, and I think it was Ian Holmes that was like had done a radio production of The Hobbit or something before, or maybe he'd done Lord of the Rings, I don't know. Maybe if he did The Hobbit, maybe that was him. I can't be bothered looking it up, so someone go on Wikipedia and like feel free to leave me hate mail in response. So we're going to talk about some news, but first of all, we'd just like to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Book Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you the chance to try out their very helpful service. And today we are recommending The Cuckoo's Calling by Robert Galbraith, or J.K. Rowling, because it is going to be the next book on our Book Hype Book Club. There's too many books in there. We need to change the title. One of our writers on Hypeable listened to the audiobook when she got the book and absolutely loved it. So we know that it's really great and they have some really cool accents and it's really fun. So we definitely recommend that. And we thank Audible for their support of the show. So we've got heaps of news this week, guys. And Because I am the dictator of book hype. Oh, that actually was too appropriate. I have decided we are talking about
Oh, man.
Book Thief trailer. It's all right, guys, I'm Jewish. Book Thief! This is like my favorite book, maybe ever. Well, it's in the top five for sure. I am obsessed with this book. I wrote an article on Hyperbole after the trailer came out with reasons we should be excited for the Book Thief movie. Literally, like, I could have just screen capped the whole thing and done 500 reasons to be excited and just put a screen cap for each thing. I've watched this so many times. Like, when I start typing it in, the first thing, when I type like BO into my search engine, the first suggestion that comes up is Book Thief trailer. That's how many times I've looked this up already. So I know neither of you guys have watched, have read The Book Thief, but you've both checked out the trailer, right?
Yes.
So I'm curious
I
to
think you'll
hear what
feel.
you think about it, because you do not have my like devotion to this book. So Karen, you were excited by it, right?
Oh yeah, it gave me goosebumps when I first watched it. I really didn't know anything about it. I like reading these types of books and watching these types of movies and stuff, so I'm surprised that it wasn't on my radar before this. I definitely have heard of the book and heard people praising it, but I just, haven't picked it up. But the trailer looks really, really good, and I'm definitely going to read the book before I go watch the movie.
Definitely. I completely recommend that suggestion. Mikhail, what about you?
So, The Book Thief is one of those books that I'm crippled with guilt that I haven't read it, but I kind of like, I almost feel like, I don't know, I feel awkward about reading it now because, I don't know, like, I actually can't justify that feeling, but it exists nevertheless. But I mean, the trailer looked really nice, like it was composed beautifully. Something I'm interested in is that I do know about the book that it's I don't know if this is a spoiler, but it has a very interesting narrator. Let's just say like that.
Yes. Don't spoil.
And I wonder if they're gonna incorporate that into
They
the
are.
movie. Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, the author, Marcus Zusak, when the trailer went online. Karen, do you know about the narrator?
No.
Okay, cool. I don't want to ruin it for you. It'll come out in some of the promo stuff, I'm sure. But for now, they're kind of keeping it under wraps. They haven't announced exactly how they're going to do it. But it has a very unconventional narrator. And yeah, the author did say, I don't know, like, I can't say how they're doing it and blah blah blah, but yes, absolutely, that narrator is gonna be in the film or gonna be narrating it at least. So I hope it's a pers like someone I mean, I hope it's like visually shown, not just, voiceover. Oh, my least favorite of all things. So law.
But in this case, I feel like it's legit if they do it in a similar way to the book, because like if you have a book that's narrated deliberately, I feel like it's fair game for a movie, because that's not just like, well, we can't figure out how else to say it. It's like an artistic choice, in my opinion.
Oh, totally. I completely expect it to be like a typical narration with a voiceover, but if it's not shown visually in some way, I would be very disappointed. Because, that it's not just describing what happens, it's, interacting as well, I guess, in some way. So that will be
I will
fun.
say something that I appreciate about this is that I feel like people get inundated with Holocaust stories, and I think it's very easy to get jaded or bored or, kind of like, yeah, we know. But at least the trailer like didn't like rely on that imagery to like the swastika or whatever. It didn't rely on that to kind of paint a very intense but like very human picture. So I think that speaks well for the movie, and I think that's good if people can relate to such a tragic event in history in different ways, and it can reach out to them and not just use like buzzwords to and buzz imagery, I guess, to make people feel the things that like you're supposed to feel, but actually create those feelings in an organic way.
Oh, totally. I am not a I'm not a big reader of like Holocaust World War II fiction, and I actively despised The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, but the way that The Book Thief is written, it approaches it from a very different perspective, I think. It's just a very unique book in every way, both in, technically how it's written and also in the way that it approaches the subject matter, which, like you said, it's kind of in some ways you feel like, oh, like we've done everything that we could possibly do with this, which is, you know, kind of a horrible way to think about it, but it's true for some people. So if you feel like as a reader, you know, oh, I've just read so much like World War II or Holocaust fiction, I would still definitely recommend that you try out The Book Thief, because I have never read anything like it. And on the flip side, if you feel like you don't like reading this kind of thing, well, neither do I, but I adore this book. And it's just, it's such a beautiful book. And the trailer just shows that they know exactly what they're doing. It's such a wonderful representation of it. It just looks exactly how the book feels when you read it. And I'm so excited. So excited. And also, John Williams is scoring it. So we can all just get excited about that. Am I right?
I get excited about movies all the time.
John Williams scored Harry Potter, Star Wars, like, guys, John Williams.
Oh, yeah, it's exciting. I'm just not excited.
I do not understand you at all.
I'm really excited about the girl that plays the lead character. I mean, obviously, I'm just going from the trailer here, but I have a feeling that she's going to carry that whole movie, because she was just fantastic and so believable. And you know, I've talked about this before on like other podcasts, namely Onceable, where sometimes child actors, it's hard to really believe them. Sometimes they overact and stuff like that, but she seemed really amazing. And I like that the story is very much about her and her obsession with the books and stuff like that. So I'm going to be really looking forward to seeing her on screen.
Yeah, she looks great. I think she's great casting. And while we're talking about book-to-film adaptations, we also got a first glimpse, for some of us, at the Divergent trailer that is going to show at the VMAs. Am I saying that right? Video Music
Yep.
Awards. Mm-hmm. That is not a show that I frequently watch. That is Sunday night, right? So it will have shown by the time the episode comes out.
Yeah.
So
basically,
yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, the teaser has gone out already, and Mikhail, we were in the Divergent panel together, though, so we already, like, saw it.
But, yeah, I actually wrote I did the coverage for that one.
Exactly, but Karen, you haven't seen any of the Divergent stuff, so what did you think of the little preview that we got?
It was too short. I'm really looking forward to this movie. I really, really like the book. I am not totally sold on Shailene Woodley for Triss, just because I'm not quite sure her mannerisms are quite what I pictured when I read the book. But, I mean, I'm totally willing to have an open mind and just wait for the movie. But this preview didn't exactly give me more than what I was expecting, I guess. I kind of wanted to be, like, blown away, and I wasn't. But maybe when we get the full thing at the VMAs, I'll be a lot more interested in her portrayal. But overall, I'm really excited. I think it looks really good visually, and I just can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, this was definitely a teaser in the, like, actual, like, it was really, you know, just a couple of seconds of footage. But I mean, I will say, having seen the stuff at Comic-Con, I was actually really impressed. It's been a while since I read Divergent. I think that my impression is that Shailene Woodley's interpretation of Triss is a little bit sweeter and maybe a little more naive than in the book, but personally I'm into that. And what I really liked about it was that I don't know. I hope this isn't a spoiler. I don't think it is, but it's very...
Everyone's read Divergent. It's whatever.
Right. Not the plot thing, just as, like, the book... I mean, the footage seemed to focus a lot on the action, and I thought that was really cool, because you don't get a lot of, you know, like, action flicks, you know, aimed at teenage girls, or not aimed at teenage girls, but in the YA set. And I think it was really cool, like a really cool combination of both plot and just like, holy crap, look at what these people can do. It's awesome. And yeah, so I'm actually really looking forward to seeing the full trailer. Also Theo James.
Well, Hunger Games. I mean, Hunger Games had some action in it. But yeah, I get what you mean.
The Hunger Games, like, there was in, like, the training part, but, like, she doesn't do that much when she's in the arena. And, like, this is more just, like, fighting for the sake of, like, having having fights, and I kind of like that. It's not like, oh my god, this is life or death. It's just like, hey, we're gonna all get really buff and fight.
Yeah, I think the good thing about what they showed at Comic-Con, which they're not gonna release, but I imagine the trailer will feature a lot of that footage, was that what they showed at Comic-Con showed a lot of different scenes, not just, you know, it wasn't just a reel of stuff happening, which this preview really was. So in that way, I kind of feel like we were spoiled, because when you see some of the scenes, like they showed, oh, we talked about this, but you know, the scenes they showed mainly showed Triss entering Dauntless for the first time. And I think having seen Shane Lynn Woodley in those scenes, I'm sold on her as Triss. I think she's going to do a really good job. So, yeah. And actually, Shailene Woodley, speaking of Divergent and Shailene Woodley, you know, as we know, she is in The Fault in Our Stars with her Divergent brother, Ansel Elgort. The first picture from that was released. Did you guys check this out? I just threw this in.
I saw the article image. I didn't look at the article. Was that an actual official image or?
No, it's like just offset off the because they've started filming and she's cut her hair and everything. But everyone's pretty excited. Karen, do they look like your Hazel and Augustus? Like you saw them in your mind?
I mean, I think so to an extent. I think that it's going to take a little bit getting used to. This is going to sound kind of weird, but I don't remember having a very strong image of Hazel in my mind. Augustus I did, but Hazel, I never really imagined like what her hair looked like what length it was or anything like that. I don't really know why now that I think about it, but I think the picture looks great. And I said on Twitter, I was like, I already can't handle this movie. Like, I have no idea how I'm going to get through it, because I really enjoyed the book and I'm really looking forward to the movie. And I really hope that they do it justice, because it's just such a beautiful story.
I'm interested to see this movie. I actually, now I think about it, and everyone is going to think I'm seriously crazy, when I read books, I don't think I really get an image in my head as such of like, if I read a book, I can imagine it while I'm reading it. If you ask me afterwards, you know, what did I think Hazel looked like, or what did I think Augustus looked like, aside from the descriptions in the book, I don't think I could tell you, which makes me feel weird now. Like,
no, I'm along the same lines, because I know a lot of people were sort of like, I think it was in the Hunger Games, I read stuff around where like, yeah, you know, this, I totally imagine this actor as this character and they've cast him. Wow, isn't that crazy? I don't picture like real life people 99% of the time when I read a book. I have sort of like a hazy, dreamlike image of the person, and it's very loose and flowy because I'm concentrating more on the story than what the person looks like. So it always really surprises me when people are like, this is exactly how I pictured this person.
Yeah, I totally agree. That is really weird.
That's actually exactly how I was going to describe it, Karen. Like, not in a like physical image way, but in like a, oh, I have a vague impression of like this person, and sometimes one or two features will stand out. But, like, I feel like I don't really absorb physical descriptions that much. Like, maybe when I'm reading, I just, like, I don't know. Like, I know that part's coming, and I just kind of go, like, okay, this is what the author tells me that they look like, or the character's telling me they look like. But, like, I don't really, like, that's, I guess, on the absorbing information hierarchy, that's really down low. So my image of the characters is more just, like, general. Also, I read aloud to myself a lot, so I, like, kind of depend more on the voices and like the voices that I make up for the characters than what they actually look like. I don't know if that's weird or whatever, but
sorry, I was on mute.
That's okay. I was like, oh my god, I'm being judged so hard.
I'll leave that in. I totally agree. I just get kind of an impression of characters. I always find it weird when people think, yeah, like, oh, this is exactly who I saw playing the person. When I read a book, if someone said, oh, like, who is your dream casting for this? I would probably just pick like the most attractive people I could think of.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, this guy would be great. And this girl, I mean, if you asked me, I'd be like, Emma Stone, can she just play all the parts? But,
Me, that's Tom Hiddleston. I'm just like, Tom Hiddleston should play them.
Yeah, right? Tom
I don't
Hiddleston for
know who
Hazel.
Yeah, he could so do it. But now it's actually Shailene Woodley for everyone. Like, I feel like we're just going to be talking. And this is not at all a knock against Shailene Woodley. It's just hilarious to me that we're just, like, all YAL Shailene Woodley all the time.
So true. Well, yeah, she just had the Spectacular Now that just came out as well. Which has anyone seen that? I haven't seen that yet.
No, I think Kyle saw
No.
it.
Yeah. Well,
It looks
Karen,
really good, though.
yeah, I wanna see it. But Karen, you've been seeing some YA films lately.
Yeah.
Why
Oh,
don't you
segue.
tell us about them? Because I haven't seen either of these.
Have you seen either of these, Mikhail?
I have not. I briefly
Oh, boy.
considered seeing Sea of Monsters, and then the reviews came out, and I was just like, well, whatever. And I had no intention of seeing City of Bones, so.
Oh, I'm so excited
Yeah.
to see City of Bones. I've seen reviews that say it is terrible, and Karen, if you tell me it's good, I'm going to be so disappointed. I want to go and laugh at like bad acting and terrible like character choices and things that don't make sense from the book and total Twilight-esque moments. It's going to be so exciting. And with that
Well,
positive review, what did you think, Karen?
wait, first
you
we have to
know
do
me.
if you agree with Karen, this is the nobody agrees with Karen segment, but it's up to you guys, you listeners, to not agree with Karen. So go into the comments, tell us how much you don't agree with Karen. And
Hey, Karen might agree with my assessment of City of Bones. We won't know until she tells us. Please tell us.
hey, you know I like everything, so
Oh, damn
yeah.
it! Really?
Well, okay. I'll start off with Sea of Monsters first because I cover Percy Jackson on Hypeable and I'm a huge fan of the books. I liked the first movie as a movie, not as an adaptation. I mean, as an adaptation, it was pretty terrible. They did Sea of Monsters a lot better. It stayed a lot closer to the book. I think one of the biggest things for me was that it was kind of. Well, it was cheesy, but so are the books. I mean, they're middle grade books. They're supposed to be like that. But I think it was sort of odd coming from like Logan Lerman and Alexandra Daddario, who are like in their 20s. And so sometimes it just, the humor didn't quite match up with what was going on. But overall, I thought it was really good. I thought the CGI was really amazing. The hippocampus was my favorite. It was such a beautiful scene when it came out of the water. And they set up for the next movie. So I'm really hoping that we'll be able to get Titan's Curse as a movie too, and that hopefully this is just a stepping stone from the first movie, and then the third one will be even better than the second.
Cool.
How is
Well,
Nathan feeling?
yeah, I was gonna say Nathan Fillion is really all I want to know about.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. And they had a Firefly reference in the movie, and it was just like, I probably was the only one in the theater that got it, but I like fist pumped the air because I was so excited. I knew it was going to be in there because of Andrew did an interview with the director, and the director said that the line was going to be in there. So I wasn't exactly surprised, but it was really nice to have that reference in there for people who got it. And yeah, he was amazing. I mean, is anyone really surprised that he was so great?
No, I just like talking about him.
Yeah.
And Firefly.
And Anthony Stewart Head replaced Pierce Brosnan as Chiron, and I thought he did a really excellent job. And there was an interview that somebody did with him about how he took the direction of the character, and he tried really hard to make the centaur like more realistic, if that makes any sort of sense. But he did a lot of work, like the mannerisms and how he held his body and stuff. And like, I think he was really into the character, and you could tell that in the movie.
He's great. He's just great in
Yeah.
everything. So that is
Yeah.
not surprising to me. I would definitely go and see Sea of Monsters. I was saying to you, Karen, before we started recording, my main problem is I can't remember if I saw the first one or not. So, like, I know the general premise of it. I feel like I saw some of it on TV one time and thought, this sucks, and then changed to something else, which is maybe not the most glowing review it's ever had. Like, but Logan Lerman, I mean, do we need another reason to go and see it? I don't know. Your review should have just been pictures of Logan Lerman. Just pictures of him and then A plus at the bottom. I'm gonna review it. I haven't even seen it. That's going to be my review.
It would be funny if they had a different actor play Chiron in every movie, if they make more.
Would be like Hagrid's hut in the Harry Potter films. It's different every time.
Right.
True story.
And then in the last one, they could be like,
Let's burn him down. Oh.
You've really changed, Chiron. And they'd be like, what
Oh.
do you mean? I've been the same. I don't know.
Oh,
Whatever.
I thought you were making a Harry Potter reference, and I was like, so they set him on fire in the last movie? Like, what happens?
I only saw the first one, so I can't really make jokes.
Oh, yeah, I forget. You're so lame. What you should do is watch them all and then you complain about them. PSA, do not set people on fire. Don't do that at home. That's not nice.
Okay, now that we've established that burning people, not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, what about City of Bones? 'Cause
Did they
you
burn people in City of Bones?
should
They
they
did,
burn City of
actually.
Bones?
Well,
They did? Oh, that's the best segue ever.
they burned a bunch of crows that formed into demons, so kind of. I don't really know if you can consider demons people,
Shh,
but there was
spoilers.
fire.
Not really.
Oh, that's not spoilers.
Oh, be
City of
quiet.
Bones was really good, actually. I liked it a lot. I thought, you know how we were talking before about how there isn't always a whole lot of action in YA films and like Sea of Monsters and The Lightning Thief. I don't like the action in those movies because it just doesn't seem very real. In City of Bones, the action was amazing and the fight scenes were really intense and they were really quick and they looked like the people were fighting for their lives, and that was something that, I mean, I love action movies. Those are my favorite kinds of movies, and I thought they did a really, really great job there. The acting was great. I think there was like a few points where I was like, it didn't really seem too believable, but overall, I really liked it. I was really hesitant about Jamie Campbell-Bauer being Jace, but I feel better about it now. And I think that he did a pretty good job. A lot of them did. I thought they really were the characters that they were meant to be, which is always a good thing. Let's see. The biggest thing I have against City of Bones was that it was too funny. They had a lot of humor in strange places that really fell flat, and I think it was the script, not the actors. It wasn't the delivery or anything, but there were these really intense scenes and then these really, really goofy jokes, and it was just bad, and I was like cringing at some points. So you'll be happy with that, Marma. You can have something to
Oh,
laugh
I
at.
love bad jokes.
They were really ridiculous, and it was just, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
How is the gal that plays Isabel? 'Cause I think she's my favorite in the books. I
She
love her.
was
She's
really good.
badass.
Yeah, she there was a couple of really awesome scenes with her and the whip that she has, the snake like
Hell
bracelet thing.
yes.
It was really amazing, and yeah, she was totally badass in the movies, and she was the one with the big flamethrower, actually. So I
Nice.
thought all of them did a really good job. Like Jace, all his mannerisms and his sarcasm were there. Alec was really moody and like quiet and sort of intense. Isabel wasn't quite as like she had all the anger and stuff, but in the books, I remember her being like a lot flirtier and a lot more like not girly, but I don't know. It's hard to describe. I don't think like she got it 100%, but I think you'll still like her. Simon was my favorite. I thought he did the best job portraying the character.
He is really cute. I don't know
Yeah.
who that guy is, but he's got glasses, so I'm there.
Yeah, speaking of Q, I was really looking forward to Godfrey Gao playing
Oh,
Magnus Bane.
yeah.
And my biggest thing was I think they dubbed his lines because he has a beautiful like Eastern accent. He's from Taiwan, and I don't remember if it's really hard to understand him or not, but he had an American accent in the movie, which is one thing, which totally fine if they wanted to go that route. But I think they actually dubbed his voice or like maybe cleaned it up a little too much because it did not sound real, and I'm really upset because it sounded really strange.
Oh, really? That is so
Yeah.
weird. I think
And I
he,
wouldn't.
I feel like he definitely has an American accent. Like, I think he's learned American English because like I saw a promo thing, and I from memory I think he had like a American sort of accent, but that would be such a shame if they he is so attractive though, but like that would be such
Yes,
a
like
shame if they dubbed him. Well, he used to be a supermodel, right? So
yeah,
that
yep.
was kind of his job.
Yeah,
So that's okay to say.
I went to the movie with my mom, and she didn't know that he had an accent because I definitely did, and I thought maybe like that influenced my perception of the American accent, but she thought something was off too. So I don't know. You'll have to watch it and then let me know if you think, because I tried looking it up and a lot of people are thinking that they dubbed his voice over.
Weird. Speaking of
Well, I
terrible American accents, as a complete tangent, I saw the Bling Ring last night, and Emma Watson should stick to English. Like,
guess.
oh, that was bad. That was worse than In Perks.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible. That was the Bling Ring is an awful movie. Let me just put that out there. Anyway, City of Bones. What else are we thinking?
Well, I will say that it did not do very well in the box office, apparently. I'm just on an article at EW, and apparently the Butler stayed on top, even though it came out last week. And City of Bones, according to EW, okay, I'm just reading this. This opinion is not whatever, whatever. The Mortal Instruments City of Bones continued its march to the same YA graveyard as Beautiful Creatures and The Host. The $60 million fantasy film conjured $3.1 million on Friday, which sets it up for an awful $9.3 million weekend and only $14 million over its 5-day debut. So,
Ouch.
yeah.
Being compared to the host, that's harsh, man.
I have a really hard time imagining that this is not going to do well, though, because the fans of the Mortal Instruments are super passionate.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie actually does a really good job of setting it up so that it's not just the romance. Like I said, there's a lot of action, and the whole premise is really interesting. Oh, that's something else I wanted to mention. And okay, this book has been out for 6 years, so this is not spoilers, so I'm just saying
Oh, incest?
the incest plot line, they did that was that almost ruined the whole series for me because it was just like so uncomfortable, and I was like, really? We know that they're not gonna be brother and sister. Just get it over with already. In the movie, they make a point of saying to like Hodge says to Valentine, lie to them and say that they're related. And then at the end, like Jay says, you know, I don't believe it or whatever. So like it makes it far less uncomfortable. And so I think they did a really good job there, like just kind of making the audience aware that no, they're not actually brother and sister.
Yeah, I feel like they had to do that for the movie audience, or they would all tune
Yeah.
out. And for more on our thoughts on Mortal Instruments incest, listen to Rewatchable, where we make a parallel with Veronica Mars. Oh, Karen, I just had massive deja vu of this conversation.
I know.
Totally. Yeah, that's definitely not a spoiler. I'm curious to see this movie, and I like if they've toned down the romance, I'm probably more into it because what I really enjoyed about the books was the world that she built, not so much the ro I mean,
Yes.
Clary and Jace, like, are just not interesting characters to me. Sorry, world. But, like, everyone else, like, Isabel was way cooler, because, you know, for most of the books anyway, she was not really in a romantic kind of thing, I guess. Maybe that's why I liked her more. So, yeah, I accidentally saw The Host. Because I kind of didn't.
What?
All right, so I haven't read The Host, and I think I must have just like blocked it out of my head or something. So when it came out, someone was like, "Do you want to go and see blah blah blah?" And I was like, "Yeah." I didn't even think about it, and it was only when we got like half an hour into the movie that I realized, "Wait a second, I know what this is." So I think I'm gonna make that person go and see City of Bones with me as payback. I think that is that's fair.
Title card karma that was like based on the best-selling novel by Stephanie Meyer.
Oh no, because we were late. That was the whole thing. Because I was already in a bad mood because I missed the previews. Well, it's not a good way to start a day. So, yeah. And then I was like, oh no, I know what this is. Ah. And then he also didn't really know what it was. So we both thoroughly enjoyed hating on that movie. So, woo, City of Bones.
Yeah, I'm
Exciting.
not going to say that they toned the romance down. I
Damn
think
it!
that they bumped up the action so it's a little more equal. There are, like, I mean, I don't mind the romantic aspects, and I think that they do a good job of sort of setting up Jason Clary, and I like the relationship that they have in both the books and the movie. But there are a couple of scenes that it's just like, I felt like there was some really lingering shots where like they were on screen like face to face really close for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, this is really uncomfortable. So there's that. You can laugh at all of that stuff, but I don't
I
think the
will be.
romance is too bad.
Oh, Karen, I definitely did not trust your opinion on this.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Right, that's enough film news. Let's talk about books. We've got some fun things coming out in August and September, and we've chosen some of our favorites. So let's quickly run through some of these. Mikhail, what are you excited for that's coming up soon?
Okay, well, I'm really excited for a book called The Bitter Kingdom by Rae Carson, which is coming out on Tuesday, I believe, which should be the day that this is released. So if you're listening to this and you happen to be, en route somewhere, you could stop off in Barnes & Noble and pick up that book. It's the third book in the Girl of Fire and Thorns series, and it's a really original, interesting fantasy, high fantasy, young adult story that is anti-saccharine, and the heroine is extremely unique and not grating, and it deals with like serious moral questions and philosophical issues that like in a fun, I mean not fun, but in a like entertaining way, not like oh my god snooze, but like these books really make me think, and that's one of the things I look for in a fantasy series. So the third and final book, The Bitter Kingdom, will be coming out Tuesday, and we should have an interview with Ray going up that day as well. So I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but hopefully once I get my mitts on it, I will have a review up, and highly encourage y'all to pick up a copy.
Very cool. What else is coming up?
Also, and I feel bad because I haven't read this yet, but or the first one yet, but The Dream Thieves by Maggie Stiefvater. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Maggie is coming out as the sequel to The Raven Boys, and I know a lot of people really like that. I think that book was one of Jen's like must gets at Book Expo America. And also in September is The Coldest Girl in Coal Town by Holly Black, which is also, yeah, that was like everybody was trying to get that. I think Jen got it at Comic Con. I don't know. I'm probably getting this all wrong, but I know that those two books are really highly anticipated for September.
Very exciting. Karen, what have you got on your list?
Atlantis Rising is by T.A. Barron is the one that I'm really looking forward to. There are a couple of books that I'll be reviewing in September, but I don't really know anything about them. This one looks really, really interesting. I've had the ARC forever, and I just haven't gotten to reading it yet. I wanted to wait closer to the time that I was supposed to do the review. But the really interesting thing about this book is that it is about Atlantis, but it's about the creation, not necessarily the destruction of Atlantis. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting twist on the legend. And I just love T.A. Barron's writing style, so I'm definitely looking forward to this one.
Why am I not surprised that you recommended a T.A. Barron book?
I
Even one you haven't even
tried
read yet.
so hard not to mention that other series that I mention every time, so. This is
Hey,
as far as it's gonna get.
you're winning us all over. Eventually, we will actually read it.
I
Although, actually, this Atlantis one, I would be so into that. That sounds like my kind of book. So I may have to pick up a copy of that when that. I wonder when the Australian release date is. It's always so far away.
three years from now.
Yeah, in 2017, I'll report back.
It's okay, because if Megan Whalen Turner's next book, or when it eventually comes out, I will not stop talking about it. It is all you guys will hear about.
Oh, I mean, did we not just have 20 minutes of Marma Loves the Book Thief? I think we're cool. I've got a couple books that I've got my eye on for September. Rainbow Rowell has a new book coming out, which is called Fangirl, and I think Hyperbole readers would be into that because it's about this girl that's like this huge fan of, you know, this celebrity. And I'm just really interested. I know Rainbow Rowell is kind of like a hipster author, so she's not exactly a mainstream kind of writer, but still, you know, she's like a New York Times bestseller, so I'm curious about what her interpretation of like being a quote unquote fangirl will be. I think that'll be really fun. And there's also The 100 by Cass Morgan, which I have had an arc for so long and I still haven't read it. But I watched the trailer for the TV show that's coming out, so that's basically the same thing, right? And that looks really cool. That's the one where like 100, you know, delinquent teenagers are sent from the prison in space down to Earth to, you know, hang out and Lord of the Flies around, and it looks really cool.
You
So,
sound
yeah.
like me with Game of Thrones. I was like, I know all of this stuff from Tumblr. I don't need to watch the show, right? It's the same thing.
Okay, no, I actually watched the trailer. And Karen, that was like the most inaccurate article I have ever read in my
I
life.
tried so hard too. I was like,
This
I
is
have to
Jon
get something
Snow.
right.
Oh no. Well, this is a book podcast. We can plug that real quick. And if you go over to Hyperbole, even if you haven't read Game of Thrones, I'm sure you know more about it than Karen does. And it will be hilarious. Just wait till you get to meet Jon Snow and the White Witch of Narnia. Then I just basically died at that
Okay,
point.
she looks exactly like her.
Yep. Actually, I
I
mean,
think.
yeah. I can see where you're going with that, but God, so funny. So funny. Even if you've only watched the TV show, but you should read the books, says the girl that's only on book three. You should read the books, and Michaela has read all the books, so, you know, that's fine. And then laugh at Karen's article, which is hysterically funny.
But
So, you're
laugh
welcome.
good spiritedly.
Laugh with her. No,
Yeah, I
it's
think a
definitely at
lot of
her.
people enjoyed it. I really didn't get any negative comments about, wow, this is really stupid. Like, they were like, this is really wrong, but it was really funny. And I was like,
Oh
well,
yeah, it was a
okay.
totally positive experience reading it. It was hilarious. It was basically made my week. I was like, oh, if I ever feel sad, I can just read Karen's article. I
Aw,
think I
cool.
want to. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should write one about what I think happens on Glee now.
Oh,
That's.
that would be really funny.
Yeah, I've inspired myself. Okay, so that's all the news we have for this week, but you can always check out hyperbole.com where we cover all kinds of book news and book to film adaptations as we're big fans, obviously. And you can get in touch with us on Hyperbole, and you can also find us on Twitter at BookHype. And a few people have given us some feedback since our last episode. So, guys, I think we should just get excited by the fact that we can definitely say we're doing weekly episodes now, right? Because we've done two. And they were a week apart. And this will be the next one. So now I've probably jinxed us, and I apologize when you hear this episode in 5 weeks' time.
You guys know how much coffee I drink because when we do weekly episodes, it's a lot of coffee.
Well,
Because
listen to that sacrifice Michaela's making. She
I
doesn't
know.
want to drink that coffee, but this is what she does for you guys. And you can repay her by leaving us ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Yep.
Like,
That was not subtle.
I was like, oh, sorry, was it meant to be? We'll put in the subliminal messaging later, the whisper one. We'll do that later.
Like what Mama said backwards just now is actually rate and review us on iTunes.
It's true. It's all true. That's the real Australian language. You're welcome.
That's why we can't understand you when you talk to each other, because
Hey,
you're talking backwards.
how you going? Okay, so we have some listeners who are also excited about our weekly episodes. So Zayu, I am really sorry. There's too many letters in that name that I don't use enough. Who says they are really enjoying the weekly episode, so that's exciting for us. And we also got some Twitter feedback. This first one was about our guest authors who we had on last week, which was very exciting. Karen, did you want to read that?
Sure. This is from Butterfly Neg 82, and they said, I thought it was great. I'd love to hear more authors in the future. And I can say that that's definitely in the works. We don't necessarily know who or when yet, but we're definitely planning on having more guest authors and people even in the industry too. We're trying to bring in as many people as we can and try to keep it really varied. So definitely look forward to that.
Yeah, it was really fun talking to Carrie and Lori, and it was kind of a nice perspective to have, having actual authors on the show.
Yeah, and feel free to, spam us with feedback about which authors you would like to hear, and don't take it as an assurance that it will happen. But, tell us anyway.
I have a suggestion,
Why not?
actually,
Mm-hmm.
and that would be J.K. Rowling.
Oh, let me just
Oh.
call her up.
I know. I think I could see her email on her website.
She actually did our Audible ad today.
Oh yeah, that's
Yay!
right.
I know. So, I mean, we'll just get her right back and see if she wants to talk a bit more. She's pretty shy though, so I think she's a
That's
bit embarrassed because I didn't give Cuckoo's Calling a very good
nice.
review. Oh no, I've ruined it for everyone. Yeah. So you guys can always let us know. And actually, while we're talking about feedback, we mentioned a couple episodes ago about doing book review shows of books that came out, a while ago. And we're definitely interested in doing that, but make sure you let us know what kinds of books you are thinking about, or like if you have any particular books you'd like us to do. And if you could let us know like as soon as possible, then I can immediately start singing the Time Warp song as the intro to that section, which I'm just
Yes.
dying to do. So that would really help me out. If not, I might have to make a pseudonym Twitter account and tweet us lots of suggestions. And oh, I probably shouldn't have told you about that plan before I did it, huh?
Oh.
Oh no, I've ruined it for everyone. I've ruined
So
it.
next up, we actually have a tweet from someone named Warama Might, and she suggests coming.
Oh, she sounds attractive. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you guys have a lot in common, Marama. She thinks we should read Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, perfect. We do actually do have some other Twitter feedback from people that aren't fake Marima. And we've got this one from Melody, who wants to know, what is a book that you guys recommend that you wish had more attention, and what is an overhyped book that you don't like? So quickly, what do we think? A book that I wish had more attention, anything by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, who is my favorite author of all time. Overhyped book? I don't know. Come back to me. Karen, what do you think? Something you wish had more attention? T.A. Barron, possibly?
I wasn't going to say it, but yes,
Okay.
okay. All right. I was going to skip that because I was like, no, I'm not mentioning it. But yes, anything by T.A. Barron, I think, should have more attention. Overhyped, I actually think The Mortal Instruments is very overhyped because, like we were saying earlier, the premise and the world is really, really interesting. I didn't really enjoy the writing all that much. I thought it was kind of basic, which is too bad because I think that it had a lot of potential. And so, I mean, they're good books, but I feel like they get a lot more attention than maybe they deserve.
That was very diplomatic of you. Oh my God, Karen doesn't love everything. My world is shattering around me.
Oh, sorry,
Oh,
guys.
sorry guys, I can't record anymore. Gotta restructure the foundations of my universe. Mikhail, what about you?
Okay. Trying to think, other than the obvious Megan Whalen Turner answer. I don't know. I don't think these are really like lacking in hype, but maybe it's because the next one hasn't like come out, and it's been a while since the second book came out. But I really, really adore the Lainey Taylor's books, The Daughter of Smoke and Bone. Yes, that's what it's called, The Daughter of Smoke and Bone, and the second one is Days of Blood and Starlight, and they are amazing. The second book actually is like on my list of books that are so good that like made me despair of ever being an author. And just like really, really good. Again, I don't think they're like underhyped, but I think that maybe I don't know if the right people are reading them yet. And I think that everyone should read them because they're beautifully written and really wonderful and also very, very thoughtful. Overhyped. I feel like I'm gonna get hate mail for this, but Divergent a little bit. I
Oh,
mean,
you stole mine. Damn it.
oh, well, you know
I
what? If you
mean,
defer,
I
then you can't
love
complain.
Divergent. It's great. Awkward.
That's Marma's book that doesn't get enough hype.
Yeah, Divergent. Not enough people are talking about that.
Right, yeah. It's not in like a, oh, this is bad, but like I don't know. I mean, I read Divergent and I liked it and I enjoyed it, but like I don't know. It doesn't like shout out to me as original or as, and that's not in like a, oh, it's a takeoff of something. Just the reading experience of the book to me was not like as, oh my God, as I kind of expected it to be. And again, that's really not like a, oh, this isn't good or isn't quality or anything like that. I see that so many people like it, and I mean, love it, love it, love it, and I'm a little bit perplexed by that. But I mean, Que Sera Sera, it's definitely not Twilight or anything like that, so.
Yeah, I would probably go with Divergent as well, not because I didn't enjoy it or I didn't like it or I didn't think it was fun or any of those reasons. Mainly because I don't know, it just didn't grab me in the way that it has grabbed a lot of people, and I don't know if it's the best book of that genre that I've ever read. So it's curious to me that that is the one that sort of took off in the way that it did. Yeah, obviously, like Hunger Games had a lot to do that with that, but you know, whatever. But seeing as Mikhail stole mine, I'm gonna give another book that I wish had more attention, which is On the Jellicoe Road by Melina Marchetta, which is one of the most gorgeous books I have ever read, and she is a fantastic author. We interviewed her. I interviewed her a little while ago for Hyperball. She just writes the most beautiful, like, young adult stories. And John Green thinks that she's awesome and doesn't get enough attention. He's always talking about her when he talks about his favorite authors. So that should be enough reason for everyone to go and check her out. And if you want a book to start with, I would definitely recommend Jellicoe Road. I think that's my favorite. So there you go, Melody. I hope that answered your question.
I wanted to ask you, Marama, is she really big in Australia? Like, is she the I don't know, like what would you equate her to, like, in Australia? Because I know she's not particularly well known here, but
She's reasonably well known in the young adult sphere. Australia doesn't really do like celebrity authors in the way that you guys do over there. It's a bit more, everyone's just a bit more relaxed about it, I guess.
okay.
You know, so everyone like has their favorite authors and whatever, but not the way that, you know, screaming fans would, you know, like a movie premiere or whatever for a book release. We don't really do that. Everyone just chills out and like has a cup of tea and goes hangs out with their kangaroo and, you know, put some
God, you
shrimps
guys
on the
are awesome.
barbie. Yeah,
Yes. Okay, whatever.
that's how we roll in Australia. Okay, one more Twitter question. Let's do this one quickly. Mikhail, do you want to grab that?
Yeah, do y'all think a big celebrity is going to be narrating the Book Thief movie? Yes, I think Hilary Duff.
I think J.K. Rowling
Sorry.
should narrate, and if not, Shailene Woodley.
Oh, Shailene Woodley, of
She would
course.
be great. Karen, I am really curious because you don't know the narrator. Who do you think the narrator is in the book? Or like, what do you think the narrator is? Or how does the narrator manifest?
I literally have no idea. I know nothing about this other
Good.
than what I've seen in the
Well,
trailer,
it'll just be
and
like your Game of Thrones article then.
so should I just like throw out a random celebrity I think should narrate the book
Please.
thief? Oh God.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yes. Let's go with Tom Hiddleston. I could
Logan
go with
Lerman.
that. No, Tom Hiddleston would be really good, I think, actually.
Yeah, no, that would actually work if they can't get Shailene Woodley.
Yeah. Well,
You know,
Godfrey
everyone.
Gao in his actual accent.
There you go. Nicely tied in. All right, so that is it for Book Hype this week. Make sure that you get in touch with us on Twitter. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We really appreciate that. I would appreciate it even more if they were in the Australian store so I could see them.
Can I read this one that we got recently?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you want to read one out?
So this
Yes.
is our latest review from Jenna Eliza. And she wrote, "I work for a technology company, and the majority of my coworkers and friends don't read. That's really sad. And if they do read, they certainly don't read YA literature. That is their loss." That was my inclusion. So it's nice to be able to listen to this podcast weekly and find out what's going on in the world of YA literature and get book recommendations from the podcasters. If it wasn't for Book Hype, I would have had no idea that the Lunar Chronicles, woo, existed. And those books have brought me so much enjoyment over the past weeks. If you're going to listen to one literature-related podcast, please make sure it's this one. Wow. Thank you so much, Jenna Eliza. I really, really,
Wow.
that warms my heart.
Thanks, Jenna Eliza, and you have a great name.
Yes.
You are so great, you need two names.
Yeah, that is true. Actually, everyone, pretty much everyone on our iTunes reviews have awesome names.
Well, then they can be on Book Hype, where only people with great names are allowed. I just made up that rule. Sorry, you guys are all fired. Anyway. So leave us a review, like Jenna Eliza, and we might compliment your names on the next episode. You never know. Or we might not compliment them, in which case, awkward for you. And make sure you get reading The Cuckoo's Calling, because that is going to be the next book we talk about, probably next week, if not the week after. It'll definitely it'd be in one of our next episodes, but we want to do it when everyone is available to talk about it. So that is why we are holding off. Because everyone has opinions and it's J.K. Rowling, so everyone get excited. You can tweet us your thoughts on The Cuckoo's Calling and we'll read some of them out on our review show. And make sure that you enter our giveaways for those books that we talked about at the top of the show. We've got Every Breath, Two Boys Kissing, and Mikhail, what was yours?
This is How I Find Her by Sarah Polsky.
This is How I Find Her, just in case you needed the Australian accent to convince you to enter the American giveaway. I don't know how that works. Anyway, this has been Book Hype. Thank you for listening. I'm Marima.
I'm Michal.
And I'm Karen.
Bye.
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 Keep reading.
Oh, time warp.